Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you haven't seen Bloodline up until season 2, episode 9, we will be spoiling Bloodline. And I feel a degree of confidence that we'll be spoiling the whole thing. So that's a little hint. So that's your spoiler warning. Leguizamarama, you can still watch the first, listen to the first 20 minutes or so, but then we'll start talking about Bloodline. Switch off if that's like important to you. 2015's Bloodline. 16's Bloodline season 2. Mm. If you haven't gotten around to watching it, and then yeah.
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg and a bucket of chicken.
Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man.
Hello and welcome to Mission Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week we chat about John Leguizamo and everything he has been in, be it film, television, voice work, ads even. We've even done a couple of cheeky YouTube clips when we're busy or stressed. my name is Mish Wittrup. You might know me from, in 2016, I went to Europe.
Oh, nice.
I drove around Ireland. I went to Berlin. I went to Switzerland, Paris. I went to Amsterdam. I could tell you the full breakdown of what I did in 2016. But when I wasn't in Europe, I was back here in Melbourne stressed off my tits because I wasn't making any money. Anyway, I'm joined, as always, by a very...
You're making enough money to go to Europe.
Well, that's why I didn't have any money after I came back. I'm joined by my very dear friend, Zach Ruane, who you might
bless
know from.
You. I'm quickly trying to jump on Facebook to see what I was up to in 2016. Because
yeah,
the years
are
a little more blurry for me. I mean, I was in a sketch troupe. And I really wasn't doing much else other than that.
Were they Edinburgh years?
I think so, yeah.
2016 would have been...
Was in a sketch. I'm still in that sketch.
What year did you do 1999?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. We should know that, shouldn't we?
No, I don't know years. What am I going to do? Like, if I scroll through,
if you
maybe?
Named any year that I've been alive, I could tell you, I could say one word to describe that year.
Really? Are
Go.
You that good with
Test
years?
Test me.
2012.
Graduated university.
See, I'm even like, got to take a minute to like figure out what I did in 12. I was 22.
You were cinema boy.
I worked at the cinema then. That's insane. How do you know? I don't even know what year it is now.
I'm good with that shit.
That's crazy.
Well, I don't think it's so much that I'm good with that shit. I just think that you're not very good with that shit.
No.
Anything happening in 2016 for you?
Oh, mate, I'm at 2019. I'm just scrolling down through Facebook. You know what I'm saying? What,
so if I say there's nothing you can think that was like particularly big about 2016 for you?
I was in my mid-20s. I think, yeah, maybe I was. I think it was a bit of like it wasn't the start of stuff, but it wasn't the end of stuff. Like, I was a bit of a middle time, I think. I was going to Edinburgh. I was just doing a lot of comedy shows. Mm. Like, I was doing a lot of live comedy then, I think.
I was, I went to Europe. I had an independent theatre company that I was running with some friends of mine. I was living share house life, working at a call centre as a market research supervisor.
How do you like grab onto the year? How do you know 2016?
When someone says 2016 to me, I instantly think Europe because that was the first year I ever went to Europe. And because I can think of Europe, I think about where I was at that time and what happened around that.
Mm.
So it's very easy for me to kind of jump into a year.
Here's a big problem, right? Mm. I, oh God, is bad. This is not going well for me.
Why don't you look at your wiki?
What about memories? See more memories. 7 years ago. What's 7 years ago? 2016.
This can't possibly be good listening.
No, I shared a training video for McDonald's. From McDonald's. I love training.
Why don't
videos.
You post a status right now saying, "Can anyone tell me what I did in 2016?" And then we'll revisit
online content.
Zach, that was a really good suggestion.
That was a good suggestion.
And then we can revisit at the end of the pod.
So what am I doing? I'm asking.
If you post an Instagram story asking, "Hey, can anyone tell me what I did in 2016?
Oh, no, I wouldn't want to do that. How about I just promise that next time I will do my homework and next episode I'll be ready to go to tell you what I did in 2016. I think the wiki is a good idea. But
yeah, you have a wiki, don't you? I don't have a wiki, which means
I don't have a wiki.
I think you might have a wiki,
Auntie
mate.
Donna has a wiki.
Well, let's have a look.
Zachary Ruane doesn't have a wiki. No, no, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, no, you don't. You don't have a wiki. You have an IMDb.
I wouldn't have a wiki, yeah. But everyone has an IMDb. Oh, look, there's a new photo. Someone's updated the photo. Me in a cardigan doing a fan.
In 2016, the group released 1999.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Hey, that's. I would have thought that was earlier than 2016.
Well, there you go. Apparently, the group, and you also began your podcast then.
Yeah, I knew that, and I think.
Have you been doing your podcast since 2016?
Yeah.
Oh my god!
I think as well, 2016. Then either 15, 16 was my first Edinburgh. It was the first time I ever went to Edinburgh.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Well, that makes sense.
So that was the beginning of a depression I didn't diagnose. just joshing. Hey, Mish, I've got a thing. When we were talking about spoilers, I think we've discussed this, but it reminded me of I was watching a video a few months ago, and there was someone teaching like a lecture in screenwriting. It was just a clip of someone teaching advice about screenwriting. And it was in a class. So whether it was a short course or whether it was a university course, they were teaching screenwriting. And they, in this clip, it's a very vague memory. And I also feel like I've discussed it before. So just apologies, listener. And in this clip, this lecturer mentioned a movie that was at least 20 years old. It was a movie from the 90s. And referenced the ending as an example of a good. So they're like at the end of Fight Club, da 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 da, or at the end of referenced an ending to a movie that was over 20 years old as an example of like good screenwriting structure. And someone from the audience is like, "Ah, no spoiler."
Yeah.
I just love your thoughts on that.
Very interesting. So literally today, today, when I was like, "Oh, I've got a podcast with Zach." A little memory flashed into my mind about when I ruined Dexter for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was awful. Now, the reason that was awful.
Not
was
awful.
No, it was because you were in the middle
but
of
awful
watching it.
Is like a really big word.
Okay, stupid of me.
Yeah, right, okay.
Foolish of me. Because Dexter at that stage, what I gave away was something that came out 2 years previously. 2 years is not enough. But I think I could comfortably, in a room full of people, say what happens at the end of The Sixth Sense. Because the twist in that is so iconic and was such a like milestone movie, you know, of its time that I feel like I could comfortably do that. If someone gave it, what's a movie, like if someone told me what happened at the end of the first Star Wars film, I've not seen it, I wouldn't be mad.
I think something got given away to me recently. What was it? Oh, I can't even remember. It was
I've got
film.
One.
Oh, yeah, go.
I've never seen Rocky.
Oh, okay.
And someone told me at the end of, someone was like, "Oh, well, you just have to look at the poster of that movie to realize that he wins."
That's Rocky 3.
Oh, okay. But you know what I mean? Like they released a poster and it was the final shot of the film or something. And
I saw that on TikTok. It was a guy doing TikToks where he was saying posters that gave away
I
the
saw
end.
That video too.
And I was like, oh gosh.
It's like
this video is giving away the end.
It's
things.
Like spoiler warning for Cloverfield Lane.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That is the one that happened recently. I've not seen 10 Cloverfield Lane. And this
That's
video.
That's the John Goodman one, isn't it?
This video gave away the end of Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
And that was one where I was like, ah, that's a shame, but that's on me.
Yep.
That's what I thought. I thought, oh, that's a shame, but I wasn't about to comment you gave away the end of 10 Cloverfield Lane because for me I was like, this is a video
Should've
about
watched it.
Posters that give away the ending. If I was so passionate about not knowing the end of 10 Cloverfield Lane, I would have watched it by now.
I get it.
Here's why I think.
But also you should have watched it. Do you know what I mean? It's like that movie's old enough now.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 Cloverfield Lane, that's a push. But something like Fight Club, if you had it on your list for this long and you hadn't watched it, bitch, come on now.
Well, here's
come
the thing. I think there's like two reasons why that video irked me. It wasn't even about it. It was just like someone passingly said, oh, spoiler alert or spoiler. And they were like a bit shitty about it, right? And that wasn't the point of the video, but it just made me go, what? There's two things, right? One, I think the Dexter thing was less because it was only 2 years ago. It was the fact that I told you I was watching Dexter. I said, I'm watching Dexter.
Yes.
And you said, oh, wasn't it crazy when this happened? Before you asked where I was at with Dexter.
Yes. Not in my defense, because again, I openly admit it was foolish. But you said, I'm watching Dexter and I really enjoy it. We had a chat about why you like Dexter.
Mm.
And then I gave away something that happened at the end of season 2.
Season 4.
When it was currently in season 5 or 6.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm only up to season 2.
Yes.
And it's like, how, okay, yeah, I'd given you 2 years. It wasn't like it was happened a week ago.
Yeah, no, I think I can't remember.
It's still
the context.
Foolish. 2 years, like
I think it's less about 2 years. I think it's less about 2 years. It's more about how have you watched it all?
Yeah,
I tell you now with every fiber of my being, I've moved on from the fact that you gave away Dexter.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I just moved in with you. That's why it was such a like. I'd been living with you for less than a month. And I was still trying to establish my place in the house because you all knew each other. I moved in with an established household and I was like, oh, wow, I'm really vibing with these guys and we're getting along so well. And, oh, you watch Dexter? Yeah, I've watched Dexter. Isn't it crazy when you did? And you looked so – I've seen the eyes since, but it was the first time I've seen the hurt eyes. And I was like, I've hurt this man.
Yeah, I feel emotions a little too much. No, I think that's fair. My point was more like I think I've misremembered that anyway. So, but the thing is more like if you're like that's not so much a problem. I think 2 years is fine. I think it's like it's more when if someone were to say, "Oh, I'm watching something," because I wasn't watching it in real time. I've forgotten that it wasn't that I was watching it. Mm. We were talking about it. That's fine. I think 2 years is sort of all right.
Mm.
It's less about the amount of time. I do think there is an amount of time. Mm. And I think it's like there's almost like two layers. There's one where it's like I think the weekend of.
Yeah.
Even like weeks and months. Then there's kind of 5 years. It's still newish.
Yeah.
But at 20,
yeah.
When you're in the decades, it's whatever. The other thing I was going to say, the second thing I was going to say is I think that if you want to be a screenwriter and you're going to a screenwriting course, your priorities are more than having things spoiled for you. Like it should just be like, spoil away, baby.
Yeah, of course.
Teach me how to write.
100%.
Like.
I totally agree with
that's
you.
That was what irked me. It was like, I don't think this person should be like worrying about spoil. It's like, oh, I'd love to teach you the film structure of Sixth Sense, but I can't spoil it.
I think.
Don't want to give it away.
Well, especially movies that are 20-something years old. I think as well, you can't build it up too much. So you remember the movie Us? Jordan Peterson movie called Us. Have you seen it?
I have, but, you know, I would put this
I'm not going to say what happens.
This is where I go, ooh, it's a little bit in the category.
I'm not going to say what happens. Yeah. But I hadn't seen it, and I had a group of mates who were like, you would love this film.
Oh, yeah.
The end is incredible. It is the best twist I've seen in forever. It's easily Jordan's best film. Fucking you're going to love it. And it was built up so much, I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to watch the best twist in a movie ever. Now, because that was ingrained in me, I guessed the twist. I was too focused on trying to figure out what the twist was that because I was like, it's a big one, it's a good one, so concentrate. I guessed it very quick, and because of it, it kind of, the reveal was like not that great. You know what I'm saying?
I guessed the twist of that as well.
Yeah.
And it was okay. Like, it was like I still enjoyed the film.
Yeah.
You know, I just sort of... Do you know why? Because the trailer gives it away. There's a shot. That's what it is. There's one shot in the trailer...
Don't give it away.
...that gives it away. And I was watching it and I was like, ah, oh, and it's a really incredible shot. It's a really great... It's one of the flash... It's a flashback shot. But that's... It gives it away.
My favourite thing ever about trailers that give things away, if you watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days... If you watch the trailer for that movie, it's the whole film.
That's funny.
The whole trailer.
That's how they used to do trailers.
Of how, yeah, and I love it. Of How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which is a fun rom-com, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a fun rom-com. The whole movie is given away in the trailer.
Which is so funny, isn't it? Because it's like, it sort of says that spoiler warnings and spoilers... I'm trying to care less about them. Like, it's like, I think there are certain, when it's a twist, when it's a piece of information, when it's like a, you know, it's best not to know.
Yeah.
But like, if you put too much pressure on that stuff, it's like, it's an interesting thing.
It is. Before we jump in, I've got a little discovery I've made this week. It's more so... It doesn't have to be a discussion point. It's just something I'd like to talk to you about.
No, I'd love to talk about it. Sorry, everyone who was chomping at the bit for episode 9 talk.
Well, no, this is going to be so... I reckon what I'm about to say here might be potentially the most boring thing I've ever said.
Oh, Mish.
But I often have background noise when I'm having like admin days, so emails, invoices, that kind of thing. And my favourite choice of background noise... is a movie I've seen before.
Crazy.
Yeah, I just love a movie I've seen before that I liked.
Yeah.
That I don't need to concentrate for because I know it so well. When Harry Met Sally would be a perfect example.
It's insane to me, but that's just a me thing.
Yeah, it's background noise. Well, I have my laptop open and I'm checking emails. It's just there, right? Sometimes I put on like television shows like How I Met Your Mother that I've seen all of.
Yeah.
Whatever. Went on to one of the streaming services to try and find some background noise film and put on Dodgeball.
Because
I was like, I haven't seen that in forever, but I know it. I know it well enough. Let's just chuck that on. And my God, it was funny. I was like, this is very funny. I was like, this is a funny film. But then I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have a big Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn movie. I'm just going to start watching them all again. Great background. I know all of them. I was like, because Dodgeball was, there was some funny stuff. There honestly were some funny jokes in Dodgeball, right? A lot of really awful ones, but really funny ones. And so the next day I had another admin day and I was like, I'm going to put on Wedding Crashers. That movie is so shit.
Wow.
And I've stopped. I won't watch any more of the Vince Vaughn, Ben Stiller, that kind of era of film. I was just like, I was so ready for it. I was like, oh, Isla Fisher's in this. Oh, you remember Rachel McAdams? And oh, it's got Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, it does.
I was like, fuck yeah. I remember this film. Put it on. And I was like, nah, I'm not about it. I just wanted to share that. I'd love to know what your favorite Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn mashup, Owen Wilson, you know, that circa, those films.
It's tough because there's a bit of an overlap there. Well, I mean, I'm on the record. Zoolander is in my top 10 films.
It's so good.
I put it alongside, like...
Schindler's List.
Like, I love...
Oh, no, I get it. The Muppets Treasure Island is my favourite film.
Yeah,
so
I think Zoolander is... You talk about near perfect.
Yeah.
Zoolander is a perfect little film.
Yeah, I love that.
It's polished.
I love that.
It's the right amount of play. I love Zoolander. So Zoolander is my favorite. Vince Vaughn can't go past that one where J-Lo goes into the mind of the serial killer.
Which one's that?
Oh, what's its name? The Cell.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, Mish.
That sounds... Did you give away the end?
No, that's what it's about.
That sounds phenomenal.
Have you not seen The Cell?
No. No, because that would be an interesting study, although I don't think I really want to study him, but the study of Vince Vaughn's career, because he was pitching, his management at least, were pitching him as hot bad boy.
Mm.
Really? And then all of a sudden it was just like, okay, you do comedy.
Well, it's because he did Swingers, so that was a bit vague. Mm. And everyone in Swingers went on to have huge careers, everyone involved in Swingers.
But, like, I watched a movie, fucking great thriller, not sexy, 90s thriller called Domestic Disturbance.
Oh, yeah.
With John Travolta, and he plays, like, a good dad.
I never saw it, but I know.
And Vince Vaughn is bad boy.
Bad guy.
And it was just, like, it was really eerie and weird. And then I've come across a whole bunch of, like, young Vince Vaughn where he's playing the hottie. And it's like, at what point in that man's career did everyone just go, do full comedy? That's where I have a feeling, this is like, and I haven't thought about this until now, but I think Vince Vaughn had just liked acting. I don't think he cared what he was doing. I don't think it was like, I'm working towards comedy, that's what I want to work.
No, I think comedy kind of, he's good at it. Yeah. So he got
and
it.
And that's where he got his career.
I think he was an actor. Yeah, absolutely. So.
Isn't that interesting?
The Cell Mish.
I have to watch this film.
It's a little bit more full on. It's one of those ones where there's like the nature of the serial killer, not the nightmares, but what the serial killer does is like one scene right at the top, which I'm like, that's a shame that's there. I don't mind it, but it's a shame that's there because it puts me off recommending it to anyone because it's quite, it's like, you know how after Silence of the Lambs, there was this idea of, you've seen Silence of the Lambs?
Yes.
Yeah. There's this idea, there was Silence of the Lambs, same thing happened to Saw. There was the film that existed, and then there was like the mythology around the film.
Yes.
And then there were films that came after it that were trying to evoke not what that film was, but what people thought that film was.
Are you talking about like with crossover characters and stuff?
More with like the viciousness of what the serial killer does and the grossness of the serial killer.
Yeah.
So the serial killer in the cell, there's like a scene at the top where it's just like, this is just like they brainstormed. Like they sat around and like, what's the most fucked up shit? Thing. And it's not like, I don't believe that this.
Would I enjoy it?
That scene you'd be whatever on. The actual movie is about J-Lo having to go inside his mind. It's a bit like The Matrix, but it's J-Lo and she goes inside his mind, which is like a surrealist artwork.
Let it be known. We know how much I don't like The Matrix.
Yeah.
If J-Lo was Neo, I would like The Matrix.
If J-Lo was Neo.
If you replaced any shit film with J-Lo, I instantly.
Matrix isn't shit, but. if J-Lo was Neo, and instead of The Matrix being like a thing that kept us whatever,
it was the mind
of Vincent D'Onofrio. No, Vincent D'Onofrio is the serial killer. Vince Vaughn is the cop trying to catch him.
I'm going to come. That is the best. Why have I never heard of this film?
It's amazing.
Are you making this up?
And then most of it is inside the.
That honestly sounds like something you would make up to tease me.
No, it's great. I can't believe I haven't told you about it.
That sounds like the best movie I've ever heard in my life. Speaking of movies that like come like a spawn of these other films, have you ever heard of the Terrifier series? I've only seen scenes. I have never sat down and watched the whole film. It's about a scary clown.
It's sort of newish.
It's like, to me, everyone's like, it's petrifying. No, to me, that is a room of people who's like, let's just do the scariest cat. Yeah. Like, just make him scary. And I've not watched the film, so I don't want to poo-poo it too much because I can't. But like, from what I gather, it is literally just like a very gross, petrifying looking clown that goes to people's houses and tortures them. And it's like, okay, like there's just no nuance. It's literally just like, let's just, like horror's really in right now.
Yeah.
Like gore is coming back. Like, it really is. Like gore is,
gore's back, baby.
Gore is back. Mishy happy. No, I don't like gore. Let's be like, whatever. But they're like, let's create this Terrify character. And I just saw like the most recent trailer is just like, okay, like it's just like this real, like let's fucking scare the shit out of anyone who looks at this poster. It's like, okay.
I think scaring should be the journey, not the destination.
Preach, bitch.
I don't mind gore. But
have you seen Hellraiser?
Yeah, I love Hellraiser.
Oh, yeah, of course you have. You told me to watch it. That, to me, is perfect.
It's so fucked up.
Fucked up. The a level we haven't talked about it really.
No.
I don't know. Is now the time? Probably not.
You know what? Let's go to an ad break.
Okay.
And then when we come back, we'll talk about thingy. But if it slips into Hellraiser at all, who are we to stop it? When we get back, we will be revealing the scene that makes us go, ugh, the most of gore, the most gore scene. We don't, after this ad break coming up.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. Fingers crossed there was an ad. If not, uh-oh.
I actually have an answer.
Yeah.
So previous to the ad break, if any of you might have forgotten, Zach put it upon us to talk about the goriest scene.
Or the one that hits us the most.
Anything, so war films probably.
Mm-hmm.
The scene, I believe it's Giovanni Ribisi and his guts are coming out. In Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Is it Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Is it Thin Red Line?
Ribisi's in everything.
But he's like shaking and he's crying and he's going really pale and they're all just trying to put his guts back into his stomach. I can't remember the movie. For some reason, I think it's Saving Private Ryan, but also I don't remember Saving Private Ryan being that gruesome.
It's pretty fucked up.
But that scene, like people who are alive, that's the one. People who are alive and guts, you can see different, you can see their liver come out, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That stuff. I've also just given away a plot, spoiler warning about Giovanni Ribisi dying in some film.
In one of those movies. Yeah. Now every movie Ribisi's in, you're like, my one is, I think I've mentioned it here before, the Achilles tendon in Hostel.
Yes, that one fucks me. Oh, yeah.
That's the bit. That's one of those ones.
Yeah.
And that was like full when gore was the destination.
Yeah. I review horror films on my Instagram sometimes.
Hey, great plug.
Thanks.
Sometimes I watch Friday the 13th if I can be bothered. On mine.
And if you're really lucky, we're both doing them at the same time.
We should do something together.
But no, I recently watched a movie called Chain Letter.
Oh, yeah.
Horrible. Really bad.
Along.
Not even in, like, not a good film, right? However, there is a scene in it, spoiler warning for Chain Letter. I'm telling you now, it's don't watch it. It's not like, I mean, yeah, it's funny, it's stupid. But there's a scene in it where a girl wakes up, again, spoiler warning, a girl wakes up and her feet are tied to two cars.
Oh.
To the exhaust pipe of two cars in the garage. And she's like she's got tape on her mouth, she's like bound. She can't move. And she wakes up and she's freaking out. And then the cars start to drive.
Oh.
And then one turns left and one turns right and it splits her in half. And it was awful. But it was like, it was the only good horror scene. But it was just like, that's creative. And I had like, and it was, she was attached with chains. Everything in that movie was about chains. She was attached to this car with chains. And when they turned, they split her in half.
I love horror. I love gore. It's funny with me. Like, there's just some things that I go, nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah.
And it's a fine, do you know
it's
what it
such
is?
Such a fine line, though, because that's, sorry to interrupt.
No,
but that's why Hellraiser, because Hellraiser's like blood, literal tidal waves of blood coming into a room. Like, the walls are crying blood. Everyone is skinless.
And they're like the,
they've got skinless titties and they're having sex.
The way that like, sex and violence is the S&M of it all, but like, it's grotesque.
It's just like, oh, Jesus, it's so full on, but it's fabulous.
It's amazing. Because I'm so glad you loved it.
But the line is so, because if they took out 20% of the blood, it would just be like, ew. Do you know what I'm saying?
It's also like, it's so fucked up, but most of the people that are the most fucked up in it are like willing participants in the fucked upness. There's like, it's so full on, but it's like, there's something about, in the 2000s, it wasn't just the gore. It was like the what are you doing with this gore? Like, what are you saying? Who? There was just something about it that was just really... it's. Do you know what it is? I'm not one who... I really love horror, but I love to feel horrified. Yes. When I watch a horror, I either want it to just not be real and just be just fucked.
Yeah.
Like Hellraiser is just fucked up. But there are times where it's like I'm meant to be having fun. It's like why I don't like Friday the 13th. It's like, ha, 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 this is fun. I'm like, no, it's just a guy murdering young women.
I don't know. I enjoy Friday the 13th for the camp of it all. How do you do? But like because of it's just so campy and
yeah,
silly.
It's so not real.
Of the Halloween, Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street is on the bottom. Nightmare on Elm Street is the best.
But this is why I love Scream, Halloween, and Nightmare on Elm Street. It oscillates. Like sometimes the violence is fun, and then it'll like throw it back at you and be like, "This bit's not fun," and you're like, "Ah!"
I was trying to wonder. Like my partner asked me, "Why do you like horror?" Because he hates it. Mm. We talked about our pussy partners before. he hates horror, and I like the "Oh my god, what's going to happen?" feeling. That yeah. like "Oh my god" kind of feeling. And if it's like just gory, it's just like, well, there's no nuance in that at all.
There's no fear.
There's no fear. Tension. Yeah. It's just, like, oh, well, he's dead.
Cause there's like, this is the thing I've really realized. What I realized watching Hellraiser 2 is that horror, I think for the last 20 years, I've talked about this before, horror has been gory thrillers. Mm-hmm. But with Hellraiser 2, it's like horror means something else. It's like horror. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's like the horror of existential. Mm. There's something more profound to the idea of the genre. Whereas like, I want to feel horror.
Yeah.
And I want to feel thrills and I want to feel scared. And it's
why
like.
Why didn't we do a horror podcast?
I don't know. But sometimes bad horror.
But see,
horror,
like, I want so badly to find a platform where I can talk about Hellraiser for an hour. Because I'd love that.
Well, we can talk about whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, true. Yeah, let's do the blurb, though. This is for Bloodline.
I'm so glad you liked Hellraiser.
I loved it. I haven't loved a movie like that in a long
time.
In a long time. Fun. Well, that being said, I loved Talk to Me as well, which I saw 2 months before Hellraiser.
Oh, that was also fantastic.
I loved that, but I loved Hellraiser. Anyway, go on.
All right, I got to find it.
It's for Bloodline Season 2, Episode 9. And for those of you who haven't been keeping up with Bloodline-orama, if you don't mind me saying.
Just in case you're coming in now.
Weird, but we only watch things John Leguizamo has been in. So please let it be known that John Leguizamo wasn't in Bloodline until Season 2, Episode 3. So for the last few episodes of Bloodline-orama, what we've been trying to do is figure out what this show is what's happening in this show. Because we didn't watch anything before Season 2, Episode 3 of the show.
We didn't even watch so much as a previously on.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Netflix didn't really do
that. They didn't give us one. They didn't. That was the problem. We started on Season 3. They didn't give us a previously on.
Because they were just uploading them.
Yeah.
All right, here's my description of Season 2, Episode 9. The cop that used to date Velma is getting really close to figuring out whatever it is Coach from Friday Night Lights did to Ben Mendelsohn. Also, Johnny Legs is mad because he can't find Nancy because she has moved into Sissy SpaceX hotel with her emo son. Also, he has taken a fisherman dude under his wing and is teaching him how to extort Coach and Velma. Then towards the end, Nancy breaks up with him and he's a bit of a cunt about it.
Fisherman dude is Danny's best friend. You know that,
Danny
right?
Danny being Ben Mendelsohn?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool, all
bit,
right.
Bit daft. That's the only other thing that I picked up on as well.
So he was his best friend.
No, they're mates. Firstly, big episode with reveals.
I can say you came in, I was watching it, you got here, I was watching it in the office near the podcast studio. You walked into me as I was watching it at 1.5 speed and you saw me. What did I say? I was like,
oh, so that's what happened.
Yeah, because they full were showing.
Tell them what happened.
Well, I just was going to talk more about the fact that they were just showing bits from the end of the last season.
Yeah.
They were fully going. And it was
I don't know if they were bits from the last season or if that was new information.
It felt like
it was put there for
us. They were connecting new information with shots from the last season.
Okay.
I think at the end of the last season that's what happened.
Okay. Do you want to explain what happened?
The coach, spoiler warning, coach killed Mendelsohn.
Drowny boy.
Drowned him, which we learnt last week.
Yes.
And then the siblings one by one, well, the sister walked in and was like, oh my God, is that Ben Mendelsohn? Mm-hmm. And coach was like, yeah. And then she and the brother helped get him into the boot of their car so they could fake the drowning elsewhere.
Yep.
And then we learnt that the friend saw it.
Yes, fisherman boy.
Fisherman friend.
And he told.
Fisherman friend, we'll call him. The friendly fisherman.
How awful are fishermen's friends?
I there is a time and a place in my opinion.
Absolutely not. They're disgusting.
I like them.
No,
I like
chalky.
Them.
And I'm assuming fisherman's friend.
Friendly fisherman.
Told.
Is he a fisherman? Why have I?
No, they were just on a boat having a fish. They were just. Firstly, John Leguizamo was on a boat with this fisherman's friend.
Friendly fisherman.
Just looking fucking cooked. Like, I can't.
He wore a beanie.
Yeah, but he was also like, this was the episode where we had to see that John Leguizamo was really losing it a bit. Like,
yeah.
That he was, they gave him full junkie makeup, like, very different from last episode. It's like he was very pale. He looked cold. He had some scarring. Like, it was just a bit full on. But I'm assuming that Friendly Fisherman told John Leguizamo what he saw. And with that information, John Leguizamo is looking to. Like bribe the family. Is that what, that's kind of what we're dealing with?
Yeah, he was like, you should bribe them.
But who was the guy at the end that went to the detective and said, I'm ready to tell you the story?
Fisherman's friend.
Was that Fisherman's friend?
Yeah.
I don't think that was the same guy.
Yes, it was.
I don't think it was.
100%.
In all fairness, everyone in this looks the same.
They're all sweaty.
Sweaty facial hair.
Like they went to the barber 2 months ago.
Yeah. And they're all hot. They all didn't shower the night before because they were just like too tired. And they have that feeling about them. They're all wearing button up like Hawaiian shirts. They all look the same. So it's really difficult for me to keep up. Also, the episode opened with a flashback of the brothers when they were kids.
Mm.
And that fucked me because... The only way you could tell that they were brothers is that they had the same haircuts. I love that. I love that trope in film and television where they do flashbacks of people and they have to use kid actors, right? And obviously, like, it's almost impossible to find someone who's identical, right?
Yeah.
So the only way that they can do it is by giving them glasses or the same haircut. Like, they haven't changed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Like, someone was saying that... whenever someone told me this once, it's like whenever in a movie a woman is older.
Yeah.
So like they show the woman when she's younger and then like it's 10 years later. Mm. She has long hair when she's younger and she has a neat short haircut when she's older, even though they'll do nothing else to her. Just Renee Zellweger with long hair, 20s. Renee Zellweger with a short hair, 30s.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
That's so funny.
They always just give them a shorter haircut.
They had it in this episode as well. Just a little Hollywood trope
that
I've never heard discussed before.
Okay.
Why is it in all films? When was it decided in all films that telephone numbers were 555-7217 or 555-1237?
What do you mean?
Whenever someone's like, can I have your number in movies and television, it's always like 555-8832.
Why is it always 555? I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
It might be area codes, American phone numbers. I don't know how they work. That's my first guess, is that it's an American phone number thing. The second guess is that I reckon they set aside a set of numbers. So they go, so people aren't calling.
Yeah, but isn't it an interesting thing? It's just one of those things we have to, like, same with cars. None of them have license plates. It's just one of those things we accept in film.
Yeah.
As being a thing. And it really takes me out of it rather than just being like,
do they not have 0417? Do they not have license plates?
Nah, a lot
isn't
of the
time. Isn't there fake license plates or is that a bother?
I don't know. Most movies just don't, like, from when I pay attention, they don't have license plates.
Sometimes in America, they're allowed to drive around without license plates in America.
Really?
Yeah, you've never noticed that when you're in America?
I've been to America twice. One time, I was too young.
But that's really interesting. You think they're
I was just paying attention to Chuck E. Cheese.
555. That's funny. Are you saying five? It's always 555.
Always starts with 555-3621 or something like that. Every single time in a movie, someone asks for a number. Every time it starts with 555.
I reckon you're about to unveil a.
I'm going to get killed.
Yeah, no. I thought I'd heard this. When movies and TV shows began using phone numbers more frequently in their plot lines, people who actually owned those numbers started to complain that they were getting too many prank phone calls.
Yeah.
So the phone companies reserved 555-0100 through to 555-0199 for fictional use.
See, isn't that interesting?
I thought I'd heard that. Yeah.
I love that. I've never thought to ask.
You'd think they would just reserve some random ones. Go, hey.
But that is a fucking excellent fact.
Yeah, that's a great fact.
I want to tell Alexi.
He'd know that. Do you reckon? Be like, and did you know? Da 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 da. And then he'd be like,
I love Carlito's way.
Never try and outdo Alexi. Alexi's a real film buff.
Yeah, he's proper.
I was like, he's doing a screening of Carlito's Way in Sydney.
Oh, can we go?
Well, I really want to go, but I think I'm doing stuff. I was literally like going to go. I messaged him. I was like, I'm going to find an excuse to come to Sydney.
Oh my God.
But it's on a weeknight. And I'm doing stuff either side of it. But I don't
know. Yeah, I can't get to Sydney.
But if anyone listening.
When is it? Like this month?
It's in December. I think it's like around, I don't know. It's in December.
Look it up. If you love John Leguizamo and you will love Carlito's Way and you will love Alexi Toliopoulos, who loves Carlito's Way.
Which, I mean, you heard it. You can go watch it. If you're in Sydney, you can go watch it.
Oh, that
it
would
Alexi.
Be so much fun to watch Carlito's Way with Alexi.
I seriously was looking into it. I was like, I'm gonna fucking find an excuse to go to Sydney. But that's ludicrous for a movie I can watch on DVD.
Another little interesting thing that I actually really enjoyed about this episode
was
the whole Nancy trajectory. And now she's living with Sissy Spacek.
It seems
quite genuine from Sissy that she wants to build this relationship with her grandson, the emo kid, and Nancy, his mother. And remarkably, John Leguizamo comes in and's like, well, you know, I can get us more money. There's more. And she's like, I don't think I want that. I think I actually want family. And this is the security I want. It's not financial security.
Yeah, she seems all right, Nancy.
Yeah, something's going to happen to her.
Yeah, I reckon. I also, here's my thing, right? This show, sometimes I like this show. But sometimes this is a completely different thing to the Nancy trajectory. If you want to talk about the Nancy trajectory.
No, that was all I had to say.
I can't even place it. Sometimes characters have scenes together. You're going to have to, like, go with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have scenes together and it's, like, not fully explained why they're in the scene together. So, like, I'll use as an example the cop and Velma, the cop that's trying to get him, and Velma towards the start of this episode are just like talking and they're in her kitchen and she's making him a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, sorry about the other day. Yeah. And he's like, that's all right. Hey, you better tell me, I know you're lying.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you talking about? And then he like walks off. And maybe this is a thing that's in all television. Right. Maybe this is something that all television does. And I'm just noticing it in this show because I'm not watching it in any real order. So I don't know what's going on. But like, why was he at the kitchen table? Why was she making him a cup of tea? Like, is that something you need to like, is that normal? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just all of a sudden you're watching one scene and then all of a sudden she's making it, but he's at the kitchen. He's sitting at the kitchen table.
If there was a movie or television series made about your life, I'm sure they'd flash to a scene where I'm just sitting at your kitchen table having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
I've sat at your kitchen table many a time and had a cuppa.
Yeah, but don't you think it'd be like, Wouldn't that scene have
Would you want the, hey, I'm coming over?
Is that, like, I don't need a coming over, but like a knock at the door and just like, hey, what's going on? Or like.
Can I have a cup of tea?
Like, hey, I wanted to just check something with you. And maybe that was, look, maybe that was there and they cut it. Like, maybe he knocked on the door and but it just to me was like, why are they in the kitchen talking? And it happens a lot. There'll just be scenes where, like, they're talking to Sissy Spacek and it's just like Sissy Spacek is there doing the dishes and she's like, I don't want you. It just feels like people are just sad. And I think I might just be going crazy. It might just be watching the show.
Yeah.
But, like, there's, like.
I'm noticing things in this show that I wouldn't usually notice and I hate that.
People are just talking.
Yeah. Well, that's because that's all it sounds like to us, Zach, because I don't know what's going on. Velma, I don't understand why all of a sudden in the last two episodes she's a full sus bitch, like real sus. She was not sus previous.
Yeah.
Now she's full sus. Everyone, there are three men in this, I'm pretty sure, that look exactly like Fisherman's Friend. Like,
I think that's all Fisherman's Friend.
I don't think it is. I do not think it is. Because Fisherman's Friend, Danny's mate, is a bit dumb. Like, he was just a little bit stupid. Like, he's like, oh, a bit waffly or whatever.
But he's the one that got the necklace.
Is he?
Yeah. Because that doesn't that all make sense that that would all be the one guy?
Can someone let us know?
Was that I don't really care.
No, me neither. I can't wait for the next episode to be done. I will say, I'd love a little quick ode to the Johnny Legs, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is a really lovely little scene in this movie, this episode, that just every once in a while, and I know we talk about this all the time because all we do is talk about John Leguizamo, but every once in a while he pops up in things and you're just like, oh, God, he's good, right? Mm. The scene where he comes back to the house and he's like, oh, she's not here, I'll call her. And he bought her a guitar, like he bought this guitar, and he's calling her and it goes to her voicemail. And he's like, hey, baby, like, I'm just here. Where are you? And then he looks up while he's on the voicemail and sees that she's cleared out the closet. She's taken her suitcase. Mm. She's taken everything. And he's on the phone, like on the voicemail when he notices. And the change between, hey, baby, where are you? I got you a really nice present, to this concern of where is she, like, what's happened to her, to this, I reckon she's actively left me. It's all in about 15, 20 seconds.
Well, for me, it happened in 15 seconds.
It's a really lovely scene. It was, like, really good. It was just, like, he's very good.
I also think he is good at, like, what I was just talking about, which I can't quite place what I'm talking about. But he is good at giving scenes a sense of drive and purpose. And, like, he comes into the room. There's a sense of, like, forward movement.
Yes.
He's not just sitting at the table.
Never.
He's, like, doing stuff.
Well, it's like I'll always hark back to our mate Dougie Baldwin, who did the Christmas episode with us last year. And he said that, I'm paraphrasing here, but that John Leguizamo is so good at picking up an energy in an ensemble and being able to kind of like play with that and not come in and try and like brand it in any kind of way or take away from it. It's this play and he's always in it. Whatever's happening, he's there. Like,
yeah, he listens.
Oh, he's good. He's very active. He's an active player.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you know what I'm talking about? The sitting at the kitchen table thing?
Yeah, mate.
Do you get?
Well, no, not really. Because to be honest with you, if I was directing a television show of your life and there was a scene of you having a cuppa with me, I wouldn't fucking bother with that. Do you know how much it would cost just to do that shot?
Yeah, like.
Hey, can I come
in? No, I know that's time. But that's not what I'm talking about. I think it's a writing thing. I think it's less about, I don't think I want that. I don't think I need, hey, can I come in for a cup of tea? Oh. I think what I need is like, just like see him come in. Like maybe it's
like in Friends or Seinfeld where they always enter the room.
Yeah, they enter the room everyone's just sitting all the time in this show. Everyone's just sitting and talking. And I think it's a show that could do with a little more like, they're sitting on the balcony. He comes up. And maybe that's like location shooting. It's all money.
Hey.
Hey.
Quick fire.
Yeah.
Friends or Seinfeld?
Oh, my goodness. Are you asking me which I prefer?
Yeah.
Very much Seinfeld, yeah.
Seinfeld or Frasier?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld or How I Met Your Mother?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld or Scrubs?
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld or Parks and Rec?
Seinfeld.
Okay. You like Seinfeld.
Yeah, but there's shows I prefer over Seinfeld.
I panicked.
Yeah, like it was a worry that you started with Seinfeld.
I was working on a television show this last few months and the stats of Friends versus Seinfeld that we discovered blew my little mind.
I mean, I imagine Friends is much more popular.
I can't say because the episode hasn't come out and I just realised I probably shouldn't be talking about it.
Wow, okay.
But no one knows what I was on.
Don't, but you can tell me later.
Yeah.
The shows I prefer over Seinfeld, if you'd said Seinfeld or the first three seasons of Arrested Development, I would have said
that
Arrested
Development. That was the one I was searching for.
Yeah, Arrested Development I prefer. There's a lot there. Even probably, I haven't watched like all of it, but I think that, anyway, there are
What about Friends or How I Met Your Mother?
I think How I Met Your Mother. I think that How I Met Your Mother has more interesting... that I like the actors and I think it has more interesting structural things.
Same. So I got asked the other day on Instagram a controversial opinion.
Mm.
And I straight up, I think that the final episode
of
How
this.
I Met Your Mother was good.
Yeah.
I think it's a really love. And everyone, I feel like they're like, it's as bad as fucking Lost and I hated it and I don't like blah, blah. It's like, it's really not, it's good. What else would you prefer? What would you prefer? What is there more?
Do you know that with Larry David's show, with Curb Your Enthusiasm, he was so stung by how much people hated the finale of Seinfeld that he said he's never going to do a finale for Curb Your Enthusiasm. He just does it a season at a time.
Mm.
He'll do a season, then he'll take 2 years off and then he'll do another season, but he never
ends.
Has
he finished now?
No, he'll never end it. He'll just go, you'll just be like, oh, there's another season of Curb coming out.
Mm.
And then maybe he might have a run where it comes out every year, but then he might take years off. And it's like, oh, there's another season coming out.
What did you think of the finale of Seinfeld?
Look, fine.
Okay.
Like, I get why people hate it.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I think the problem is, I get it. Do you know what show has a great finale?
Tell me.
Star Trek Next Generation.
Okay.
But it does.
Okay.
It does, Mish.
I believe you.
A really good finale.
Great.
Really, really good finale.
Great. You know, Buffy had a really good finale in season 5.
Oh, no.
And then it came back for 2 more years.
That's what happens. No, Star Trek's great, right? I'll tell you why. I won't go into any detail, anything sci-fi.
Mm.
It is a great one and it's about, there's he becomes unstuck in time, but that's not what we're going to talk about. The final scene.
I tried so hard to curve away from this.
No, but I'm not going to tell you. All I'm going to say is the final scene is a recurring sort of scene that happens all through the series, right?
Yeah.
But they do something a little bit different. But it's not the final scene or the final location that you're expecting.
Oh,
that's fine. All I'm going to say is that I was like, I heard that it was a great finale and I was like, oh, surely they're going to end on the bridge, the main set. And surely they're going to end on like the adventures they go on. But then they actually end on a different setting, like in a different place. And it's really lovely because it's like, oh, this is the perfect ending and it's not what I was expecting. And I think that's a great ending.
Yeah, that's great.
Where it's like it doesn't give you what you're expecting. Do you know a good finale for a show that I don't really care for?
What?
Is Everybody Loves Raymond.
Never saw it.
It was, there was like a moment where they thought he might die.
Yeah.
In the episode, they're like, they think he might die. And then it's like, oh, it's really tense. And then he's fine. And then it ends on them just arguing. It ends on them being a family and just like bickering. And it's really nice because it's like, it hints at like what might, you know, it goes, ooh.
Mm.
And then it's like, oh, no, we would never end it like that. That's not the story we're telling.
Oh, that's fun.
And then it ends on just more of the same.
See, and this is a famous one, but I would say that MASH has an excellent ending because it ends the way we always knew it was going to end, you know. Like they can't keep that show going forever. And it ends by going, oh, it's
over. The war's over.
The war's over. Okay, bye. And they all just go off to their lives again.
That kind of television, though, is very hard to end because it's like those shows aren't telling a linear story.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
How do you sign out?
Do we have any final thoughts about
on this episode?
Bloodline season 2, episode 9. One more to go
in
Blood. This in this era of Bloodline-orama.
Because he's back for season three. Oh, geez. I think that he's good at acting.
Yeah, same. I think he's worthy of being our chosen actor for podcast chat.
But I do wish that he was in the season that everyone says is good.
True. This is not so much a final thought as much as it is a final request. Mm-hmm. We've got Christmas coming up.
Mm.
I'd like to know what our listeners would like us to do. Should we watch Nothing Like the Holidays again? Should we watch Violent Night? Should we just have a Chrissy chat? Please let us know what you would like to see us do for Christmas.
Great question.
Yeah, thank you. I'm going to give this episode, 3.5 this week because I thought his acting was so wonderful and because there was a little bit of ooh to this episode. So 3.5 Leguistamos from me.
I'm going to give it 3.5 Leguistamos as well. It got 3 scenes.
Mm.
I like that he does charming but dangerous well.
So good.
And that's what this is. But broadly speaking,
I'm just ready to watch a movie.
I'm just ready. I this show.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing we've ever done.
I would.
And not the show. The show is fine, but coming in at this point in a show is at this type of show.
Truthfully, one of the worst things I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah. Awful.
Awful.
Awful. It's just to only see the negatives of a show that by all accounts was quite good.
Yeah.
Is really a terrible thing. And I hate it.
We hope you're enjoying it, though. Tom, can you just take us away with some really sad music? thank you so much for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week. Take care. Follow us on Instagram at Mission Zach, whatever. We'll see you for the finale of this round of Bloodline-orama next week. Bye-bye now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.